Indeed.
What a weekend for a few days. I mean, you know, it's hard to jump into a bunch of comedy here after the assassination.
Well, maybe we should start with prayers at the 50-yard line.
Of course, we're talking about the former prime minister.
Shinzo.
Shinzo Abe. Abe?
Yeah.
Doing a stump speech, you know, it was in a small prefecture, you know, just doing a little little campaigning, not for himself, but for, you know, candidates.
He's a kingmaker.
He's a kingmaker, a bit of a kingmaker.
Bit of a kingmaker.
You know, wields a tremendous amount. You know, American politicians, when they leave office, they go to work for, what, Carlyle Group, so they sell weapons, they do speaking tours.
Yeah, right.
You know. this is a tough thing. I mean, this kid, 41-year-old guy, runs up a homemade shotgun.
Right.
I mean, have you seen a picture of the weapon?
Yeah, it's all taped together and
electrical tape, and I mean, pretty much, what is that movie where Malkovich builds a gun to try to kill the president? What movie is that? Clint Eastwood's in it.
Oh, right.
It's a pretty good movie.
And he's like Secret Service or something, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, he's Secret Service, and he was on the car when Kennedy got killed, so he was stationed on the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of history there. It's a pretty good movie, actually. Malkovich is always.
I remember it. It's but I haven't seen it in a long time. I can't remember the name.
Yeah, but he builds.
But
a gun.
I do remember the movie.
The whole point is he builds a gun out of plastic to get it.
So he can get it past.
Exactly.
The metal detectors.
Hides
yeah.
the bullet in his key ring.
right.
Oh, here's my keys. You don't need to scan those, and that's where the bullet is. So the whole thing is very. Yeah, but this guy runs up and shoots him in the neck with this homemade shotgun, and you know, he was dead before he got to the hospital. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
guy
got him.
Guy didn't even try to run or anything. Like he just.
So what do we know about this guy? Anything? I mean, motivations? I guess he said he didn't like the guy. He didn't like Abe, but.
Look, Abe was the globalist, right? Let's bring the Japanese economy into the 21st century.
Nationalist globalist,
right?
He wanted to buoy up Japan's defenses and security,
right?
And then yes, engage with the modern world.
And he was effective. I would say effective.
And he did move the needle in that direction.
So now here he is out of office, and he's going around, and I would assume...
Because of his health.
Right.
What did he have? It's some condition that made it difficult. He had to frequently, you know, going for, you know, this therapy or that.
I think we call it aging.
Now, there was, you know, something that I had an itis at the end of it, you know, something.
I have an itis at the end of it. what a scene. So this kid, 40, 41 years old, I say kid, it's all kid to me now. If you're under the age of 60, I consider you a child.
Yeah, right.
But this unemployed, 41 years old, he doesn't like the fact, doesn't like Abe's policies, doesn't like the fact, I guess, that he's continuing to try to get his ideas moving forward by supporting, you know, certain candidates.
Right.
I mean, what a bizarre, you know, in Japan, it's like they had like 9 murders last year or something, like 8 murders or something.
Well, yeah, right, and, you know, no mass killings.
I mean
the last mass killing they had was a guy with a knife that was running around stabbing a bunch of people.
What else? Some lady poisoned everybody on her street. Right. And then, of course, the Om Shinriko, how do you say it? Divine Truth or whatever, they were the gas attacks.
Oh, right, sarin gas,
right. I mean, I'm just saying you can name
There were some things.
But it's a big difference, though. You can name all of them, and you still have fingers left. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I mean, you can almost and name
none
all
of it.
Them. Right.
None of it is a AK-47 or a AR-15.
I mean, we have a mass shooting about every 3 days, so.
I don't know. I think we've had over 300 so far this year.
Yeah, and we're in July.
More than four people shot incidents.
Right, and I think we need to change. Maybe we need to change the definition of mass shooting. I think because it isn't as shocking. So maybe.
Right. We got to have some dead in there and some better numbers than just four.
Four seems like a any type of illegal activity gone wrong. You know what I mean? That seems like four. So
yeah,
I think you really got to go to like. I mean, 10's too many. What about 6?
That's better. That's better. You know, then
that feels mass to me. 6, yeah. 6 feels indiscriminate.
You know? Yeah,
you could still have an agenda with 4.
Yeah, 4 could be inadvertent.
4 could just be, you know, it just showed up on the menu. You know, well, here we go. I guess we got to kill these 4 people. That's a.
Ooh,
you
know. We're getting into some macabre humor here.
I mean, anyway, I don't know. The juxtaposition of a horrible event happening in a country like Japan versus, you know, what we deal with on a daily basis almost. We've really gotten numb to it. This is a bad thing, this guy getting blasted like this. I mean, you know, however you feel about Shinzo Abe's policies or, you know.
He has nothing to do with it.
Has nothing at all to do with it. I mean,
it's humanity and ours.
I mean, it's a polite, I consider Japan to be a polite society, you know.
I'm going with that.
It just feels wrong to happen there, you know. I guess it's wrong anywhere, but.
But once again, it's not an AR-15.
Well, believe me, nobody's building a homemade shotgun here. You can go buy one at Walmart. You
know, that's right.
Why,
on your mother's credit card.
Liability for, I don't want to get off of Abe, but liability for parents of mass shooters.
Right? It looks like. That guy, the recent one, father might be on the hook for something a little here.
Well, what they're talking about is a product. First, a product that's available to buy, which would be an insurance policy against that liability. Okay.
Oh my God.
So that's a possibility if you own AR-15s and you have a weird son, then
get that insurance.
Then you buy this supplemental policy, and then there's another side discussion to that, which is should that policy be a mandatory policy that you have to have, like car insurance, for example. Like if you own a gun, do you need to be? Should there be some supplemental standard insurance that you need to purchase? That's expensive insurance. It's like car insurance, you know?
Well, and how does that benefit? There's some money.
We need
for
to,
the victims?
Okay, so we refuse to, in any meaningful way, limit the number of guns on streets, correct? Like, we're not really serious about doing that. We sell a lot of guns still every year. More and more and more and more every year, right?
And seemingly with the Supreme Court that we have, that's not going to stop anytime soon.
So I know gun control is a fun thing to argue about, and it's a fun thing to divide people with, but it's not a serious, legitimate issue because it's not happening. It's never going to happen like that. It doesn't matter.
I mean, how many New York schools, tried to do it, yeah. And as I said, the Supreme Court shot New York down.
So it isn't going to, that's not going to
use an expression.
So the other way to deal with the issue is mental health, right? Like better comprehensive mental health for all kids, right?
Sure.
It'd be another way to address it. That also is probably not going to happen.
Yeah, right. There's just too many people against those seemingly common sense, stopgap. I don't know why. There's too many people against any kind of common sense on it.
Okay, so limiting the number of guns, providing health care, a couple meaningful...
Red flag.
A couple meaningful...
I don't know.
I mean, a couple meaningful ways to deal with the issue, but unfortunately we're bogged down and can't move forward on either of those. So what are we left with? Well, I mean, what are we left with? There's not... You can't... Okay, so how about we just make it much more expensive? That's what Australia is doing with cigarettes, right? Hold on.
Right.
Talk about... I got to shut my gate. Hold on, my dog just came back. I got to trap him.
Gate shut.
Say hello to everyone.
Okay. Well, while we're waiting for Dave to shut the gate so the dog doesn't get out, I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Saturday morning, in spite of everything. And I think we're going to get into here is the law.
I hear him back. It's all very fascinating. Australia. Okay. Okay. Australia doesn't want people to smoke, right?
Right.
They recognize it's a public health issue. It costs too much money to deal with the adverse long-term effects of it. So, but they don't want to ban it, right?
Uh-huh. So they make it really expensive, huh?
It's fucking super expensive. It's like $20-something dollars a pack of cigarettes, okay?
And I thought $11 a pack was...
Look, there's nowhere to smoke. So you're talking about having to smoke in your yard, in your... You know what I mean? You're real limited.
Right.
You're limited anyway. But at $20 a pack, guess what happened?
So that brings up an issue that when you have national health care, and we know... how hard cigarettes are on health, general health raises health costs, and we're all paying for your habit, your bad health from smoking cigarettes. So does that give the public some sort of rationale for saying, hey, we don't want you to smoke, we're going to encourage you not to, because we don't want to pay for it?
Okay, so just to clarify, just so we don't get too far off the rails, the reason you're paying a lot for health care is not because people smoke. It's because there's werewolves run those companies. So just that's the reason why it costs so much.
Cigarette companies or healthcare companies?
Healthcare companies are run by...
Well, that's here. They don't have that. They got national health care in Australia.
But I mean, you make it, you put a prohibitive tax onto it. You make it prohibitive, okay?
Right.
Right. And I'm saying a liability insurance that you have to buy as a gun owner, because hey, here's the thing. You may do everything perfectly with your gun, right?
Sure.
The gun may still fall into the hands of somebody that wants to do ill with it.
Right.
In spite of all of your system of keeping it safe. Right.
So that's correct. However, right. That happens. I'm sure under the best of circumstances, that's still going to happen.
It can still happen. It can still happen. Now, it also happens under the less of best of circumstances. I mean,
which that also is going to be a thing.
Right. So I'm saying there's a cost that the society shoulders with these events.
Sure.
And it's not just the human cost, it's the horror and trauma of it, what it does to families and communities. There's a you can't really quantify what that is. Certainly those parents should get something, their pain should not be eased, but should be, they should be compensated in some way from the society that is putting them in
right. situation.
And I'm just saying, look, the Second Amendment, look, you have a right to a gun, but there should be a tax equal to the value of the gun that's paid, right?
Sure.
And that money goes into a kitty to help restore communities that suffer from gun violence. So that money goes from gun owners to communities that suffer from gun violence, just like conduit, just like that money. equal to the amount of the money that's spent on guns, right?
So that's collected from
all gun purchases.
On the gun itself, or taxes on the company that made the gun?
On the gun itself.
Okay.
So if you want to buy a gun, it's going to be twice as expensive. Because there's some extra cost the society has to bear. It's difficult to calculate it. And that money,
I think that's fair.
That money has to come from somewhere. And then individually, yeah. This liability insurance, I think, is important. Because I think the families, one thing is helping the communities that suffer from gun violence. The other is helping the families who suffer. And individual families, parents of children that get slain, things like that. So that liability insurance goes right into a kitty, and it gets divided among victims, individual victims of gun violence.
So do you envision this as some sort of will reduce the number of guns that people are purchasing?
It will absolutely reduce the number of guns over time. Okay. But the second thing it will definitely do...
Guns are already expensive.
They're not expensive enough.
Apparently, I guess.
I agree with Chris Rock. Bullets should be $5,000 each.
I like that, too. I mean, sure, make the ammunition. Of course, the ammunition, it's also not cheap, but it's certainly not stopping people.
If you're not going to take guns off the street and you're not going to give people health care, then you at least need to mitigate the damage economically that happens. You must address it in some way. You got to do something, right? Not an endless, the endless conversation about removing guns from the streets, which nobody's having, by the way. It's only done in hyperbole, like, oh, they want to take the guns. I've never heard that from a Democratic politician. We want to take guns. I never heard that.
Yeah, right. So among the many fears that are manufactured on the right about the left, they're gonna take your guns.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, but
no Democrats are saying that, though.
I'm just saying what would you do if you couldn't take guns off the street and you can't do anything about health care? What would you do to try to curb it? What?
Impeach Clarence Thomas.
Everything comes down to fixing. Now we got to fix the court. You know what I mean?
Pretty much. Look what they're doing. They're out of control. The fascists have taken over the court. And that's not even an exaggeration. That's just a literal fact.
I mean, they did it semi-legally. Right?
Right. Dirty tricks. Legal ones.
But I'm saying more or less within the framework of how it works, right?
Maybe we got to change that framework.
Trump really jacked it up because with the Supreme Court, or I guess it was the GOP and Trump, but they really did a number there on Obama.
The real guy on that is Mitch McConnell. I mean, that was a pretty brilliant political move. Deny Obama his pick, and then which gave Trump 3.
Speak again.
Which gave Trump 3 picks.
I'm trying to bring your level down. Jesus. Say something else.
I think I noticed I was a little hot last time.
All right, do it. Say it again.
About being a little hot.
You were a little hot. That's perfect. See, that's perfect. Okay. Well, that's too bad.
It's obvious that the real ideologue is Clarence Thomas. And I think when you listen to what he said to his clerk in the 90s, liberals made my life miserable for 43 years, and I'm going to make their lives miserable for 43 years.
Huh. 43 years, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the avowed intention to use the bench as an ideological weapon to bludgeon those that he disagrees with, there's no impartial jurisprudence there. Not any, not a scintilla of what we expect out of especially Supreme Court justices. And yeah, there's no chance.
It's supposed to be the best ones. But then again, you know, we knew, again, Anita Hill tried to warn us, you know.
Well, right. I mean, that's the difference. So John Roberts is a Republican, but the guy is a judge and he's a lawyer and he knows the law and is constrained by it. Clarence Thomas is not constrained by the law. And pretty much Alito is not. I'm not sure yet about Amy Comey Barrett. She's pretty much an ideologue that I just don't see the jurisprudence there either.
Well, she's learning on the job.
Yeah, I think that she's young, right? So
I don't think it's even a matter of young. She lacks experience.
She lacks experience. She certainly doesn't have the experience that Ketanji Brown Jackson has.
So we're at a point now. Okay, so we got to fix the court. So we got to stack the court. Essentially, we got to go to.
Well, I mean, is that it?
Is there another way? I mean,
well, impeachment. That's a harder way than adding justices to the court, though.
So again, we're coming down to a November midterm. Every election now is for the future of the. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, right. But which it's not just hyperbole; it kind of is true.
But they said it. They said it for 20 years, though, before it became true. So are we numb to it?
No, it's increasing every round. It's even more, consequential election.
If the Democrats don't obliterate in the midterms, I would say it's over as a country in terms of if it's close.
Well, they're certainly not expected to obliterate.
People say a lot of things. Again, you're alone in the booth. So
yeah,
nobody knows what you put, you know. No, you know what I mean? There's going to be a lot of those people. So.
Well, I mean, hopefully moving the needle left a little bit has fired up. The Roe v. Wade decision has fired up the left somewhat and will bring them out in numbers. I'm hoping there's some young Republican women that realize they don't get, they lose family planning. They lose the ability to abort. And I hope that it changes their minds.
Well, I mean, gas has went down for 24 days in a row.
Yeah.
So we just passed peak inflation. And now we're going to slowly gradient back down to something more reasonable.
Which is interesting. I mean, they blame it all on Biden. Biden is the one that's bringing this down to whatever degree that's happening. And it's because it's not happening the world over. Inflation isn't coming down the world over. But due to some smart economic policies, it is here.
I think there's a social media factor to this, too, I think. I really do. I think people are boycotting. It may not be a general strike, but there's some boycotting happening. People are not buying. You know what I mean? Strategically.
Not buying.
I'm just saying there's a feeling. I'm a real Freakonomics guy, and I think there's some other way to measure this that we're not seeing. You know what I mean? I think we're real close. We are real close to some type of revolution. So I think I think companies are slashing price. I think the companies that are the oligarchical companies that are running everything, that are keeping things expensive, are bringing it back down. I think they see that we're starting to be irrational. Does this make sense?
rational or irrational, did you say?
We're real close to being irrational. Like we're
I don't know. Are companies lowering prices? Because I know that they've come under a lot of really credible criticism.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
They've jacked up these prices in addition to whatever inflationary causes.
It was okay when we were talking about the oil companies being profit whores. That was okay. But the moment we started discussing the fact that one company controls all the cereal, and you know what I mean? When we started discussing with each other that there's six companies that control 90% of the food we eat, then that's when the prices started to gradually start to come down. Okay. They can't have us. That's a big problem when we realize that. Like when we really realize that, that's going to be a big problem.
So, right. I mean, that's the problem with a capitalistic society anyway, is that money is the bottom line for every, you know, for all policy.
Every decision.
Obviously, some people are going to get kicked out of their homes because, you know, that's just, you know, we've got to have some way to help people that, you know, fall through the cracks of capitalism. And it's not cracks, they're big holes, actually, that people are falling right through, and they're losing their homes, and you know, they can't afford to. Well, that's our homeless problem right there, is, as some people call, late stage capitalism. That was wishful thinking, but
well, it became very, very profitable to remove homes from the available market. Do you know what I mean? It became very, very profitable to do that. That's the Airbnb model.
Sure.
Why the hell should I rent my place for even $4,000 a month when I can make $25,000 in the same month as an Airbnb?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, that's a
situation that needs regulation.
And well, we're past the point now. We're at the point where it's every community. It's affected every community now. I mean, it's everywhere. It is everywhere now.
Well, one thing for sure I would do on that is, if you're buying a house to live in, it's whatever the cost. But if you're buying a second house as an investment, big thumping tax on that.
Some societies, progressive societies, do this. In the Netherlands, there's a few places actually, but the Netherlands is a place where your speeding ticket is, the cost of your speeding ticket is determined by your income.
Ah, sure.
Right. So
yeah,
if you're very poor and you get caught speeding, there's a minimal fee for that.
If you're right, because a fine stings on some people and doesn't sting at all on others.
If you're a rich person, you can pay a lot of money for a speeding ticket. You know what I mean? Like just a regular speeding ticket, thousands of dollars. You know,
it should hurt whoever speeds. Otherwise, it's not a deterrent.
So if you don't want to remove freedom, then what you got to do is tax the things with all the negative externalities. You know what I mean? The X factor, third variable problems that occur, you know, the
cigarettes in Australia,
you know, and maybe guns here, if we think about it the right way, maybe guns here.
Well, of course, then there's the Australia model for guns, institute a buyback, a very successful one, apparently, of which tens of thousands of guns were turned in or sold by the government, bought them. They did the same thing in New Zealand.
In New Zealand, they said, here's your buyback or turn your fucking gun in, but you can't have it anymore. So,
yeah.
Right. I think we've
suggested that, you know, mandatory buyback 90 days. After that, it's a stiff prison sentence.
Right. And, of course, Clarence Thomas and all that. It's a wonderful idea, you know. But in lieu of...
Certainly not going to happen with this court. They would just shoot that right down.
And here's the thing. Well, this is the nice thing about stacking the court at this moment, is this court, the one we have to stack, has already proved that they'll cross the line and take away people's rights, correct?
There's a hard right agenda that has absolutely nothing to do with jurisprudence, fairness.
So...
Yeah.
I would say once the first missile's fired, then now we're firing missiles. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I mean, we're fighting with bows and arrows, and then someone fired a handgun. Now we're using handguns. So what I'm saying is, if you do stack the court, what about aggressively stacking a progressive court and getting some of these things like gun control and health care and stuff like that? I mean, go the other direction.
If I can afford a Stinger missile, why should I not have one?
I can think of a few reasons. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, right?
You know,
I can too. It's rhetorical, but
you know, what if your kid gets?
Where are they going to draw the line? Suitcase nuke? You know, is that the line?
I honestly don't have a problem with you having some type of surface to air missile. I mean, you know, I don't know about a Stinger, but I mean,
that's a pretty bad boy.
I mean, should people have anti-aircraft ordnances? I don't know. You know, I'm not here to make that decision. But what I would say is, if you are able to buy it, there should be 100% levy on that. I think.
Well, that's not going to stop anybody like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. They got billions. They've got the economies of medium-sized countries.
That picture of Bezos riding Space Mountain, huh?
So sad. So lonely.
Is it sad? Yeah.
No.
I mean, when I was on Space Mountain, I wished I was the only one that was there. I mean, I had that thought, like, geez, it sure be great if nobody else was here, you know?
Yeah, you think? I mean, it's you know, the screaming and everybody, you know, and I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to ride it. I'm not big on roller coasters anyway, but, you know, I don't know. It seems like it's more fun if there's a bunch of people. I don't know.
Michael Jackson rented out Disneyland for an evening, an afternoon evening. You know, I think he brought mm-hmm. like 75 people with him, 100 people and some friends.
That would be cool. I can see that, sure. You know, but they're not probably riding the Space Mountain car by themselves. They probably got, you know, okay, there's 10 people on the whole thing.
Sure. Hey, we're going to go do Space Mountain, you know, 5 or 6 people go something.
You know, I once had a girlfriend that worked for the phone company, and the phone company had phone company night at Disneyland. So we went up for that, and no lines for anything. It was very cool. It was very cool.
Could you still get a frozen lemonade? Like, was all that shit operating too?
Yeah, sure. Huh. Everything. Well, I mean, the phone company, there was a lot of people in the park.
Sure.
But a mere fraction of what would be normal on a day that the park was open.
I mean, is it wrong to laugh at Bezos? You know? Is it necessarily greed or jealousy that makes me laugh at him alone on Space Mountain? Am I allowed
to? I'm going to go with probably not wrong.
I mean, maybe I am jealous, $140 billion, you know?
So I don't think I don't think that's what it is for me. I think it's the obscenity of a person having that much when, you know, so many hundreds of thousands of people have lost their homes.
I understand not revering him, but is he to be blamed? I mean, that it worked out that way. I mean,
no, absolutely not.
It was a good idea. It wasn't his idea, Amazon. It was a good idea. It came organically from what he did come up with.
Sure.
So,
but the people that he put under, the companies that he put under, should have been buoyed up. There should have been limits on, you know, what he was doing. Antitrust stuff.
Sure.
You know, we need Teddy Roosevelt on the case
here. I mean, it's a predatory, you know, we're not going to get into Amazon, but it is predatory. I mean, it's not like this happened all stat, you know, this was a static situation and they were thrust into this wealth. You know, I mean, they've been very predatory with manufacturing and trade and shipping and, you know.
They have to. They have to. They have a fiduciary responsibility
to the shareholders.
Right. They have to. It's up to us to limit that.
It's so goddamn convenient, though. Free shipping, you know.
Yeah, right. And it did lower some costs, but there should be a society where we, you know, we're all able to benefit from the commerce that you know, the society engages in and benefit from it in a more equal way. One of the things that they want the aristocracy wants slavery to return, and wage slavery is a real thing, particularly when they can, you know, give you peanuts for your labor when they're making money hand over fist. They keep people poor and desperate. You got to have that job. If you lose that job, that's going to be a serious problem for you. Well, it shouldn't be such a serious problem. Society should have as the bottom line, not money, but let's put it this way. The happiness, the general welfare of the general population. What's wrong with that?
Well, the way that works, the way we've seen that work in the past is when you got a lot of money moving through a lot of hands. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people are working, a lot of people are making money, a lot of people are spending money. If the money moves, then of course, like heat from molecules, it's the movement of the money is what creates the wealth. Right.
Certainly, we've said this before.
Well, this is economics. This is basic economic theory. So it's capitalism. This is capitalism.
Consumerism works when the consumer base has some money to spend.
Well, the money's got to move. So the case study here with Bezos is really Mackenzie Bezos, the ex-wife. The way money moves and the way real big money tends to glom together. When she just signed the divorce, I think she got like $14 billion that was given to her, right?
Okay.
Initially.
All right.
So she's given away $12 billion of that, right, to charity.
Okay.
She's now worth $28
billion. So, yes.
So that's the way that works.
Right? At a certain level.
On a certain level.
You don't have to work anymore. You let your money work for you.
You can give most of it away and end up with more than you started with.
Exactly.
So, you know, he's stockpiling.
That's the non-worker, you know.
But I'm saying Jeff is stockpiling his riches. He's built a huge pile. What is with Scrooge McDuck on the pile of gold?
Yeah, that's Jeff.
So it's like that. And certainly he could give away half of his money and still be one of the three or four richest people on the planet, right?
Sure.
Right. Can you imagine the amount of goodwill he could generate for himself and for Amazon by doing that? You can't pay for that kind of advertising. And if you could, I mean, I guess if you could buy $70 billion worth of advertising, you could do something. But, you know, I mean, instantaneously, right?
Yeah.
Look what he's doing. You know what? Let's use Amazon. It's over. If he did something like that, it's over for the rest of eternity. Bezos said himself he doesn't expect Amazon to be around forever. He said it.
Right.
Something will change. The technology will change. This will all be over with.
Well, history shows the impermanence of nearly everything. So, yeah.
If he did something like that, it might spur Elon Musk to do something similar, to try to one-up him.
Well, Elon's backing out of the Twitter purchase.
I saw that. I hope it wasn't my post about it.
You're right.
I was looking forward to it.
Okay, so let's put it this way. If you got $100 and you want $120, what are you going to do? You got to work for an hour.
What's that?
You got to work for an hour.
$20 an hour?
If you have $100million dollars and you want $120 million, what do you have to do?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
It's going to happen. So that's the difference. There's the parasites. There's the other thing about, you know, money devolves upwards, doesn't go down. There was no such thing as trickle down. Money devolves upwards and then it sits there. Whereas if you pay your workers enough, let's call it a fair share of whatever, you know, economic entity it is, the company, if you gave the workers a fair share of what is produced, they will spend it. They'll buy trucks. They'll buy TVs. They'll, you know, pay more rent. They'll spend it. And everybody will benefit.
I'm with you.
Yeah. But
we're talking about Shinzo.
We were. That's right. We were one.
Yeah. It just took like about a 35-minute diversion there. I don't think it's look. I don't think it's jealousy. Okay, I am jealous, but I don't think that's what makes me laugh about him on Space Mountain.
It's certainly not me. I'm not the hugest fan of money anyway. But so yeah, I don't think it's jealousy. I think it's economic policy that works for more people than the system we currently have.
So be good for goodness sake. Whoa.
Well, you know who the trust buster is? It's Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. Pocahontas.
Where do we put her, you know, where she can actually do that?
I really think it all starts with stacking the court because
if that's, put her on the court.
But I'm saying if that's interesting. No, but if it really comes down to, you know, that's going to be a hindrance to anything we want to do.
Well, that's been amply shown in the last 2 weeks.
Not only is it useless to get what we need done, it is taking from us as well.
Sure.
It's attacking us.
The court is doing policies that most Americans do not agree with.
So step 1A is midterm elections. Get the majorities and then move on the court immediately.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of seats. It's not a lot of seats that you need to do it.
Yeah, I like the idea of 15, and that would give us 6 picks.
Yeah.
But if you get into a situation where you can put 6 on, you know, that's politically viable, then you probably got enough to impeach some people, too.
Okay, so here's the thing. It's going to take time to get the 6, and that'll take 2 full years for sure.
Okay.
So you got to get at least 3 though, right? You have to get 3 for sure in the next 2 years, after midterms, before the general, you got to get 3.
And that's just to get even. Then it's 6.
The plan to go to 15 is wonderful, but in 2 years, plus you got a campaign for the White House too. So that kills some of 2024. There's not a lot of time here. This election, this general election coming up is quite a moment.
That's for sure, and it really is.
Especially if Trump runs.
Yeah. Investigation, the Congressional Select Committee investigating January 6th is certainly having an effect. It's changing some Republican minds. And I remember that moment in Watergate. It was when John Dean finally came forward and said, "Oh, yeah, here's what he was doing in, you know, with taping, and he was, you know, here was the plan to, you know, break into the Democratic convention. Here was the plan, and Nixon was in on it." At that moment, the Republican leadership goes, "Oh, he's done. He's toast." And they went to him and they said, "Hey, you're out." 4 days later, he resigns. So it feels like that moment.
But is this Republican leadership capable of that?
Exactly. It's certainly more extreme because those people at least were not subject to the huge fantasies that infect the Republican Party now. Outright lies and falsehoods about stolen election and, you know, they're coming for your guns and all of that. The Republican Party was certainly at least a rational party back then, conservative, sort of like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger are now.
Well, I think there was a sense that the country was more evenly split at that time.
Even though, I think the Democratic Party, too, was less progressive than it is also now.
Yeah, they were more centrist.
Yeah.
I've
even set out some elections back in the day because there wasn't much difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party.
You couldn't get an erection for Mondale.
Right. Yeah, you know, just
couldn't get up for it, huh?
McGovern, yeah. But the way that went sort of informed my feelings, you know, later on. There's no chance that anybody with any sort of progressive ideas can get anywhere near the Oval Office.
I couldn't believe we didn't elect Kerry, to be honest. That's the one that always bothered
Jerry
me.
Jerry Brown?
John Kerry.
Oh, right.
That always was weird for me. It's like, okay, he was a war hero.
He got swiftboated. Which I love the fact that term means, a lying rationale. The swift voters for truth.
Yeah.
And none of them even knew the guy.
Highly recommend Al Franken's book, Lying Liars and the Lies They Tell.
He's talking about the Republican Party, just folks.
A fair and honest look at the right.
I think if we could get six, you know, justices, you know, impeachment also, I think we got four highly impeachable justices.
It's never going to happen.
I know, but let me dream. Certainly for that statement, Justice Thomas said, I'm going to make liberals' lives miserable for 43 years. I think that disqualifies him right there. His intention to be a fair judge out the window, and he should be fired. And then all three of them who were asked very pointed questions about Roe v. Wade and lied by saying it's settled law, I'm not going after that. They lied on their job application. That's usually termination, right?
It doesn't help.
So, terminate.
You know, it's almost like what held it in check this whole time was, like, you know, some honoring of the institution. Like, it wasn't so bad what Nixon did, but it's more important that people trust the office of president. Therefore,
that's such a good point.
You know what I mean?
The Constitution will not protect us if people ignore it.
So it's, well, that's a good point too. I like that. It's not going to fit. It won't fit on a t-shirt, but it's nice. Yeah, right. No, but I wonder now, it's like, it seems like the January 6th thing for me, that seemed like that was going to be the moment where all of a sudden everybody woke up out of this coma and was like, wait a minute, we don't want to destroy the institution of government and election. So do you know what I mean? Let's have some accountability.
Sure. But Once again, the lying lies and liars who tell them have been very effective what was really going on January 6th, we're just now getting the full story.
Well, it seems like the people in power have some fiduciary responsibility to the shareholders.
Right. Right.
You know, and I think the problem here, the disconnect, is we've always been told that we were the shareholders, right? You're the shareholders.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But as it turns out, maybe that's not true.
Well, to go back to your point, too, of when people are willing to lie to stay in power, when people are, you know, willing to no longer observe norms of civility, it's all up for grabs. The Constitution's out the window. If you refuse to, you know, accept the results of elections,
Right.
That's as big a stab against democracy itself, and to go back to the last election, as we've had in this country.
Right.
I can't think of another one. Even the Civil War and the lead up to it.
But it seems like in that moment, all Republicans, rank and file Republicans to the senators, everybody would have been like, wait, hold on, dude. Hey,
hold and on. Should hold have on. Been.
You can't do that. You can't say that. Don't be a sore loser.
Yeah. And for many people, that didn't happen.
Can you imagine being willing to overthrow the government because you love your candidate so much?
Right.
Like, really?
Being
really?
That candidate and being willing to overthrow the government to stay in power.
Really? Yeah. I mean, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Because in the annals of human history, that's always worked out great. Right? Every time that's happened, ever, anywhere, it's always been positive. Right?
Sure.
Right.
Mussolini, I'm looking at you.
Hitler, Mussolini, Hussein.
Yeah, right.
Pol Pot.
Yeah.
Who came after Allende?
Yeah. Oh, right.
Cortez the Killer.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with us?
What are you talking about? The species?
I'm talking about the species. I'm talking about Americans in general. You know, I don't think
I always like to negative man's term for the species. He called it Homo unsapiens.
Homo unsapiens. It's very, very Dr. Negatron.
Right.
But I don't think TikTok.
And not wrong.
Look, here's the thing. I don't think Facebook helped in the end. Okay. I think maybe it was too soon for that. For us, right. I really don't think TikTok is helping.
I mean, I thought
Instagram,
TikTok, and Facebook are kind of different.
Look, I thought Instagram was the crack, right? Because in a field of drugs, you end up with a crack, usually, right?
Did you do MySpace?
Briefly,
yeah,
for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then I realized I wasn't a musician, so...
Right? Well, that was it, and I was going to ignore Facebook, MySpace, but there was this DJ, girl, DJ, who was pretty good. I heard something that was pretty good, and the only way you could listen to her was on MySpace.
Right.
So I joined.
Yeah, for maybe 20 minutes. Facebook, then got into Facebook, and it was like the beginning of Facebook, kind of. So,
yeah,
you know, it was, there were business opportunities. There were, you know, it was all fresh and new, connecting with everybody from high school and, you know, all that, you know, now here it is 20 years later, man, oh man, it's like a graveyard.
Well, and of course, we're talking about, AI subversion, the Russian bots we're talking about. And I think, you know, well, we know Cambridge Analytica has been involved and you know, other data mining companies that will sell information to advertisers mostly, but to political operatives as well.
I don't mind my information being sold, but where's my cut?
Well, the problem with that is, you know, they know because of all your posts, they know what turns you on, and right, they can play to that.
Yes.
And, you know, not only make you buy stuff you don't need, but make you vote for somebody that's against your own interests. That's how Facebook got used. And yes, it was Russian bots. We know Robert Mercer kind of took over Trump's campaign when, you know, the Trump campaign realized during, you know, that, oh, we could win this. What are we going to do? We don't know how to govern. And, you know, Robert Mercer steps in with Steve Bannon and Kellyanne Conway. We got that part covered for you. You go, boy. And they did.
Good times.
Yeah, right. So, but that's how Facebook got used. I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff that Facebook is. I know I use it because I got, you know, like there's 700 followers that I can post my radio show about, and I can talk about, you know.
Yeah, your radio show.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you're always talking about it.
Well, I'm just saying that's how I use. I've got stuff that I'm doing that it's good. I've got a lot of followers. I can promote that
way. Yeah, but what I don't hear is you promoting this show on your other shows. That's what I don't hear.
Because you're not there. I'm all the time talking about the podcast.
I don't think we should say podcast anymore. I think that's becoming a negative term now.
Is it? Oh, everybody's podcasting.
Everybody's podcasting.
Right.
So what can we call it?
Not us.
I got a lot of negative mail about the Jesus thing from last show.
Remind me what was that?
During the intro we talked about kind of redoing the Jesus parable so that so that it was obvious that Mary had cheated on Joseph.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, hey, you attack people's beliefs and they get mad.
I don't feel like I was attacking it. I was trying to enhance it. It was done in the interest of...
They don't want enhancement.
All right, well, I mean, the thing's been rewritten 55 times, so...
Well, you remember that Bill Maher movie, Religiosity?
Yes.
And he's in there, he's talking to some born-agains, and it seemed to me like what he was saying was very innocuous. I mean, he's an atheist, you know, and he's saying, okay, but, and they got testy.
Right.
Remember that?
Like, how dare you?
Yeah. He had to back out of that room.
Yeah. He wants to skin you alive and stuff you into the oven. No, not really. Yeah.
So,
all right, I have a question for you.
Okay, so the religious right, it seems like they're in a desperation mode. They know that secularism is on the rise, and they've doubled down.
Well, church attendance is on its way down continually.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right.
That's a threat.
Well, it's not good.
Satan's on the march.
I mean, you know, you look at the accounting, it's not good. It's not good.
Yeah, that's true.
It's trending in the wrong direction.
Well, partly priestly pedophilia has been costly.
I don't think anything's helped. You know, I don't think the gaudiness of the church, the wealth of the church, I don't think any of that's helped.
Evangelicals don't do that much, except for these huge mega churches. They don't have the trappings that the Catholic Church does, that's for sure.
I mean, the book was written in the 4th century. What do you want? Was it supposed to be poignant forever? I mean, they went too far. The Bible should have never got into how the universe was formed.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The story should have started with an already made earth and, you know what I mean? I think it would. I think it would have more legs like that.
Well, so how does somebody made from mud and somebody made from a rib have a belly button?
Why does Adam have nipples at all?
Why do you and I have nipples?
And how the fuck? You know? Can you imagine just the sheer amount of shit that was on the ark? I mean, just think about it for a moment.
Right.
And every painting of that moment with the animals going on the ark in pairs has two male lions going up the thing.
Oh, right, with the hair and
always,
the mane.
Always two male lions. Yeah.
And Tom Hom's got dinosaurs on his ark.
I like the one where the ark's going and the dinosaurs are like, oh shit, that was today. <I'm> like, oh shit, is it Tuesday? What?
I like that Rain Damage closed Tom Hom's. Is that his name? Tom Ham? Whatever.
The guy that built the new ark?
Yeah.
Yeah. Damage from flooding. Dumb,
flooding.
Flooding.
Oh, the irony. You can't make this stuff up, folks.
But is this all just God testing us? You know what I mean?
There's always
I made it unbelievable and absurd for you so that you could so that you could be tested.
Test your faith.
That will nothing tests your faith like some absurd story that can't possibly have happened. You know?
So we're all living the story of Job.
Not a good story.
He lost everything.
No, he wishes he'd lost everything. You know.
And he's restored by with new children and new wife and new land.
Does that happen? That doesn't happen at the end.
Yeah. He's restored. But that's it didn't bring those kids back.
And or his eyeballs.
Or it's right? So, was his sight restored? Maybe.
I had no idea anything was restored. Are you serious? The Job story ends with everything working out?
Yeah, boils go away and yeah.
Didn't he send a meteor to destroy the farm?
I don't think they had meteors in the Old Testament. I think it was, bugs.
I got to read the Bible again.
Blood raining down.
I guess that's the show's wrapping up, I guess. Blood. I know.
We're back with a 3,000-year-old book.
I just like the paper.
At least the Old Testament. The Old Testament's kind of interesting. Did you see R. Crumb's illustrated Old Testament?
No, that's okay. I don't want to go to hell. So, you know.
That's pretty much it. You're on the fast train to...
I watched some movie that was R. Crumb, and it was like mild pornography. Is that right?
Are you talking about Crumb?
I think so. Movie? Or maybe it was the movie Crumb.
Interesting documentary, especially his brother.
You ever see The Groove Tube?
Oh, you don't even know.
You don't even know.
I ran that movie.
At the theater?
The movie theater I worked at.
The Blue Theater?
It was, the Academy Theater is what it was called.
But you guys showed blue movies too, didn't you? Late at night?
It became that, but not when we showed the Groove. We ran the Groove Tube for 18 months.
What?
Lines around the block.
What?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was working at the theater. I quit after 6 months, I quit one summer to, go across the country, New York. And I came back like 4 months later and got my job back. And we ran the thing, another 8 months after that. So
the Groove Tube, for people that don't know, was like a compilation of little vignettes.
Yeah.
Richard
Belzer does one, a couple of them actually.
Is the Groove Tube the one with like dealers in a lonely city? That one?
I believe so, yeah.
Work all day.
Yeah. And Brown 25.
And then did they also have the clown, that clown? It's like a kid's show.
Yeah.
Like, okay, kids, all right, time for story time. Parents, leave the room. You know what I mean? And he starts reading some eroticism thing to the kids.
Yes, that was it. Like I say, we ran it for 18 months, and it did just fine that whole time.
I think there was male genitalia in that film also.
I think you're right.
There was some puppet or doll, and you didn't realize until halfway through the sketch that it was a penis.
Well, see, it was the 70s, so there was that kind of stuff, that it would fly. But yeah, so there's an ape in it, as a guy in an ape suit is part of it, and so they use that on the poster. So to promote this movie at the movie theater that I worked at, and I've got photographic proof of it, I went out in an ape suit to colleges and shopping centers and passing out flyers and And so I got pictures of me in this ape suit doing this stuff.
Okay, did you own a piece of that film, or I don't?
No, no, no. We were just trying to promote it at the movie theater.
Well, who gives a shit? I mean, why do you guys care? There was people coming. I mean, like, what? It's
weird. Well, this was in anticipation of it, so this was before, we didn't know that it was going to be like that.
My brother showed me the Groove Tube. I think I was probably like 10 years old.
Really?
I was a little young, maybe, to see it. And then I saw Kentucky Fried Movie, and I was like, oh, this isn't as good as Groove Tube.
Exactly, exactly. That was the John Landis kind of takeoff on Groove
Tube.
Sure.
Like, oh, Groove Tube is popular, so let me do one. Well, it wasn't, yeah. It wasn't as good.
And it wasn't as good. That's absolutely true. Well, see, Groove Tube had Richard Belzer, and I think he was in several vignettes, actually, now that I think about it. And he was pretty hilarious.
I'm almost 50 years old. I have sang Dealers for at least 30. It's got to be at least 30 to 40 years I've been singing that. Dealers. You know? It was always funny to me. The lines were always funny to me. Like, in a lonely city. And then the chorus, work all day, work all day, work all day.
Yeah, right, right. I'm so glad. I didn't know that.
You've been listening to All You Fascists. Obviously, this is a solemn show because of the assassination.
It was so solemn.
Well, I mean, we're talking about solemn subjects. I mean, you know, you got America. If you're hearing this and you're somewhere else, you're looking at an America that's behind the eight ball right now.
And we get, you know, we get a little sardonic, I know, at times. But the stuff is, you know, real. It's serious stuff. And we don't mean to make light of it, but. It's to laugh sometimes.
It's the crying on the inside type of clown, really.
Is that it?
In a way, what are you supposed to do? Or should we just sit here and cry for an hour about how horrible it is? What should we do? You know,
right.
We're all in this. We're all in this together. So
it's to laugh.
I mean, just
in a way a laugh of incredulity. It's kind of like, really?
Well, I mean, it's just laughing at the horror of it. That's what it is. It's, you know, what are we supposed to do? We're going to try to fix it. There's things we can do. We're going to try to do those things.
We're pushing for it. Impeach Clarence Thomas.
Some things more realistic than others.
Right.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning.
You know, the hate mail, we can stop with that. I'm just going to assume you don't like some of the things I say. So good just, morning. You know what I mean? I'm sorry.
Right, right. And naturally. And we certainly expect it. But, you know, please, you know, if it's hate, let's try not to.
I just think what's missing from a lot of the Bible stories is comedy, is what's missing. They're not funny.
That is correct.
At all. It's not funny.
Yeah.
Do you recall anything funny?
In the news?
In the Bible.
Oh, in the Bible.
Like, ha-ha funny.
No.
Okay, I don't. So, and that's what I'm saying. That's what's missing. And that's why the story, it will not stand the test of time. I know it's been around a long time, but it's not going to last. You need a little
bit of... I've never actually heard that critique of the Bible before, and I'm buying it.
Just a little levity, a little bit, a couple of funny little things, you know.
How about 42 children calling the prophet Elijah old Baldy? Get out of here. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, and then the bears came and ripped the shit out of them, so it's not
well,
fun.
Well, right, it's that. It's that part.
You know, Jesus's teen years, for example. Okay.
Teenage Jesus.
The Bible goes
and
from...
the jerks. Remember that band?
No, I don't. But listen, the Bible goes from Jesus being born to Jesus being in his 30s, right? It just skips. Right. It skips all of that.
Teenage Jesus.
Teenage Jesus. He had the power. He had the powers.
Oh, wait a minute. So we've got people being amazed at 12-year-old Jesus' perspicuity.
The fuck does that mean?
It's wisdom.
At age 12?
Yeah, so we do have that story. So that's almost teenage Jesus.
So we get one story of teenage Jesus being very wise. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sounds like a barrel of monkeys. Sounds like a laugh a minute.
You know? Not really.
But I'm saying Jesus, you get teenage Jesus. He's got the powers, no direction. Now that's a scenario where you got some hijinks.
I like it.
You know, water to wine.
Yeah, so what? But you know, they didn't really do teenager in those days, though. I mean, you're a kid, and you get up to about 10, and now you're an adult, basically.
You show the frailty of Jesus at the end, right? With his moment of doubt.
Bitter cup can be passed from me, but thy will be done.
I mean, he's not pleased about the situation at all.
Yeah, I mean, being nailed to a board, would you?
But even before that, doesn't the devil tempt Jesus at the last second? There's something with that too, right? I can't remember exactly, but right at the very end, the devil's like, "Hey, what's up with your God, huh? I mean, what?
Yeah, here we're gonna make everybody be good.
What's the deal here? You know, he's not gonna come save you.
Yeah, right.
Kind of thing. I'm just saying, you show a humanity in the Christ. You show a humanity in that moment of his doubt, right? It's the only time he's ever human, right?
Right.
I mean, actual human. A human has doubt, fear, right? Sure. Those are human qualities. This idea, these are godly qualities, the charity and the love and the compassion. Those are all godly things, right?
Sure.
So I'm saying, if you're going to show me that moment of humanity at the very end of that story, it doesn't hit the same way as if I had a few parables of teenage Jesus getting into some. How about falling in
hijinks.
Love? Hijinks. Shenanigans.
Yeah.
Shenanigans. So anyway, I hope that clears it up, and I hope that appeases and doesn't upset Christians. That was my apology. That was my apology. I'm saying
worse than me.
I don't have a problem with the story other than the fact that it lacks a certain levity and a certain humanism to the Christ that is then called upon later at the end of the Christ story. And I'm sorry, you didn't build it up in the story. You didn't do it.
Yeah.
It feels out of place now, him doubting. Anyway, okay, that's it. All right. Have a great day, that's everybody. It.
Good morning.
Good morning. James, thank you so much.
Good morning.
And you, Dave. Thank you.
Good morning.
And thank you to the listeners. You've been listening to all you fascists on your preferred provider.
I like that term, preferred provider.
Preferred provider. Although Spotify is a great place to listen to the show.
TikTok?
I want to get into TikTok because I really think, I'm telling you, we got an issue here, and I think we really need to be out in front of it. So the next show is going to be about social media and TikTok.
Okay. TikTok.
In the meantime, check out our TikTok. Social media is the end of the world. Please visit our Twitter page. Okay, James, have a great day.
And you. Ciao.
Ciao.